Let's just invite you to close your eyes. Listen to the water. Imagine that this mall is not here under your feet, but you actually have ground. And that you're someplace that was here a long time ago, and that you're going to take a walk and kind of understand what was here before this mall was.
The last time that I remember strongly that I was here, really on Shellmount Street, was just before the plant closed. The plant that had been C.K. Williams, and then it was Pfizer. And it was Pfizer when I worked there through 1982. Sometimes after that, the name changed. It was sold again, and I can't remember the next guy's name. I started working at the Pfizer plant when I was 23. I worked there for 5 years. It was my first job out of college. My first real job.
This is the village side of Huchin, where my ancestors originated from. And today we're standing at the corner of what is now Shellmount Street and Ohlone Way. And we're going to take a little walkabout and talk about some of the history of what this mall was before it was a mall. We're going to walk towards the entrance of the mall, around the side of the fake mound, past the little metal basket that's on the hill. And the creek is going to be on our right side. So when we get to this first stop sign, when we're across the street from the horses, we're going to pause for a moment. So shell mounds are always burial sites of my ancestors, and this was one of our largest ones.
It's interesting that the coloring of the apartments is very similar to the color of the pigment that we made at the Pfizer plant. We made red, yellow, and black. It was a precipitation process in these 12,000 gallon tanks. So looking right where the Banana Republic sign is, if you imagine that as a 12,000 gallon tank, that's about the same size.
Right where we are right now is on the corner of Bay Street and Ohlone Street. And this is about the location where our construction trailers were. We had office trailers here and a break trailer for our crew. And this is also close to the location where we did our water screening of the deposits. Because the deposits were really muddy and sticky with bay mud, we had to screen them through big screens using a hose. So Bay Street was not here at all at that time, of course. There was no street, there were no buildings. This was just a big open football field, in essence, a big construction site with heavy equipment running everywhere. I had always known about the Emeryville Shell Mound as a Bay Area archaeologist. Prehistoric archaeology had always been my area of focus. I heard from another archaeologist and from some local Native Americans that there was work going on out here and that they in fact had uncovered shell midden. Orange and yellow pigment was being carried off the site by rainwater and going into the bay, and they were concerned about contamination. And so they built a big capture basin to capture the stormwater runoff, and at that time they started turning up shell and artifacts, and they recognized that it was an archaeological deposit, and one of the workmen actually blew the whistle and stopped the work.
We're going to cross to our left towards the horses. When I first came to this mall in 1999, we were still going to the city council meetings asking for them to save and preserve this site. Even though over the years that there's been lots of changes that's happened on this land, hundreds of our ancestors remained buried here. Now that we are across where the horses are, we're going to cross again towards the Banana Republic, and we're going to go left down the road a little bit. And then you'll see a small cafe, and you'll see some double doors there, which will look like you shouldn't go in, but you can definitely go in. It's public access. And we're going to walk through those double doors.
I mean, it's such a complete and total transition. You know, there weren't that many people. If you look at how many people are at the mall, and it's not at all crowded right now, we're walking around, you'll quickly get many more people than worked in the industry that was down there. you know, this is very open, very easy to wander around, where when it was industrial, each one of these blocks almost was a separate plant. And, you know, so I would think this is like where Judson Steele was. And by the time we get to the corner, it's probably about the area. Maybe if we go over and look at the railroad track, I'll get a better sense. You know, one end of the plant was the street and the other was the railroad track.
Okay, so we're going to go past the elevator through these double orange doors down this corridor. Kind of weird.
I was the first woman who was able to walk around the plant without being supervised. Because, you know, there hadn't been female workers or engineers in the past. Like when I first started working there, they said, oh, we're building another building and then we'll have women's showers. It was a really dusty place to work.
So we're gonna go to the end of the corridor. We're going to make a left where it says metered parking. I'm gonna follow that. And we're gonna just go down a little bit to the first door on your right. And we're gonna go out that door. We're gonna go just across the parking lot to that first meter. And you can see through the fence, there's a railroad. And this is a railroad where folks would have stopped here at the Emeryville stop. Years ago, there was a pavilion here where people came and danced. So people would come off of this area and come over to the dance pavilion.
This railroad track pretty much marks the eastern boundary of the Emeryville Shell Mound. We do know that when the railroad was built, though, which was in the 1850s, they actually cut off the edge of the Emeryville Shell Mound, which was a little north of here up the track, and they exposed some human remains at that time. When I look out at the railroad track, though, it reminds me of the Shell Mound Station, which was a railroad station that was built especially to bring people to this location where there was a big amusement park, Shell Mound Park, which was established in 1876 and was a very popular attraction. Even excursion boats would come across the bay to bring families here, and they would have the Italian picnic or the Portuguese picnic. Groups of people would come here and have picnics. But the big activities here were apparently drinking and shooting. There were shooting galleries that extended on piers out into the bay that were down closer to Shell Mound Street. And actually the edge of the bay was just about at Shell Mound Street. So people were shooting out into the bay, shooting shotguns out into the bay. And then in addition to that, there were large saloons apparently. When we excavated here, down there in the vicinity of Shell Mound Street, we found a very large deposit of historic bottles dating to Shell Mound Park, including some mugs that were etched, stolen from Shell Mound Park, which we found that to be very amusing because I don't really think of that mindset about stealing things from an amusement park as being present in the 1800s. The Shell Mound itself was a popular destination. They actually leveled the top of the mound in the 1870s and built a staircase up the side and had a dance pavilion on top. People were walking around here in an amusement park, and the Shell Mound was not buried. The Shell Mound material was right on the surface, so I'm sure people were aware of it. People were finding artifacts on the surface all the time, I'm sure. So it would be interesting, could we but talk to some of those people who came to this park. It'd be quite fascinating to know what they found and what they saw.
I have a really hard time with it in a bunch of different ways, with the dance pavilion being placed right on top of the Shell Mound. I think in many ways it saved it from being desecrated for a little while. But it was literally people dancing on my ancestors' graves. So now we're going to go back across and through the door we came in. We're gonna go through the door and we're gonna go to our right down this corridor behind all of these buildings. You know, for me, sometimes I could feel like the ancestors, actually their energy being inside of here, walking alongside of us, wondering what's going on and what happened to this place. One of the main places that they found ancestral remains was at Victoria's Secret. And we're gonna walk right past the back of their building here soon. And we'll stop there. It gets a bit overwhelming having the feelings of the ancestors being here on top of where they have laid for thousands of years. And it's sometimes hard to imagine that people created this kind of a building here. So if you look to your left, you'll see Victoria's Secret's back door. And this is one of the places that they pulled many of our ancestral remains out of prior to them building the mall here. Some of those remains still are here at the mall, buried in an undisclosed place. And some of them were so destroyed by pollutants and that they were taken to a toxic waste dump. So we're gonna continue forward until we get, before we get to the double doors, we're gonna make a left to the through that other corridor. Where it says on our left, it'll say access to Bay Street. And we're gonna turn left, walk past the restrooms, through the double doors.
When we first started work here, the remains of the paint and pesticide factory were still here in the ground. The toxic runoff from the site made the soil orange and yellow. So this orange hallway kind of looks like the color of the soil in some places. So we're back on Bay Street again. And I'd say we're back sort of at the edge of where the main mound was. Right here at this location, there would have been foundations and concrete and this kind of shell of this old factory. What they started doing almost immediately was demolishing the factory, pulling up the foundations, and then grading the ground and getting rid of the hazardous soil. So up at the north end of the site, there was actually, the soil was so contaminated that it actually, they had to do excavation in moon suits. They had hydrogen sulfide in the soil, and so they were excavating at night with guys with supplied air spaceship suits.
The star we're standing on is actually the logo for the amusement park that was once here at the shell mound. We're gonna turn right and rock all the way to the stop sign.
There was an accident. It was a foreman actually. And he was in a hurry. He needed to get a sample. They didn't have good railings around the tank or safety barriers. And he was by himself, so nobody knows exactly how it happened, but he fell into the tank. And if you fall into a 180-degree tank with nobody around to get you out really fast, you don't survive. There's one case where a guy got his jacket got caught in this rotating machinery, and the machine ate all his clothes, but it didn't get him.
We're gonna go to our left. So we're just gonna go right across the street from here. We're gonna walk back towards the entrance, towards the horses, and then we're gonna stop there for a little bit.
So every morning, I would do a rounds. You know, I'd say hi to everybody in my department. I'd check out all the machines. I'd walk through the area. So I was responsible for two large dryers. So they were like a half a block long. You know, it's almost like a giant playground. You know, you look around and there'd be all these tanks with air coming through the tanks and, you know, steam coming off. And Everything was bright yellow.
So if you look at the building that's right directly across from us on your left-hand side, if you look up to the tallest point, then that's about as tall as the shell mound would have been about 100 years ago, before it was destroyed. That's such a huge structure to think that people lived high above there and that they could see out into the bay. And they could also see other village sites because at different times, you know, in the evening, people would light fires and they could see the village sites around them. They could hear the water and, you know, it was like a different kind of silence that we don't have anymore. Didn't have all of the street traffic and, you know, but people just talking and being around one another and taking care of each other, listening to the birds, because there was thousands of birds here in the Bay Area.
It was pretty, you know, it was pretty much a dull roar, most of the equipment. The only equipment that was really different was the bag houses. So there would be sounds of the bag houses, you know, releasing air, like a truck brake. Psst, psst. And the bag houses needed to be checked like once a day, which was kind of fun actually, because you had to climb up to the very tallest. They were always at the top of everything. So it's like being on, you know, like a fifth story apartment here. And absolutely unobscured view of the entire bay.
I could also imagine, you know, because we're so close to the bay, you know, all of those animals like grizzly bears being here and hearing coyotes and, you know, occasionally seeing the big lions and mountain lions and then, you know, the herds of deer and elk that would come through. So just a totally different place than we can imagine today here with the all of this concrete on top of it. Smells would have been different. Could smell the salt water and, you know, have a taste of deer meat or acorn in your mouth still. Or just going to cross the street here and we're going to go right past the creek that's going to be on our right hand side fence where the creek is, and we're going to go through that little arch made of stone. We're going to go right under this little stone here, and then we're gonna stop here for a little bit. And there's, you know, some interesting signage that they put here when they created this mall, and it's supposed to talk about, you know, the ancestors that were here thousands of years ago and who we were, but it doesn't really give you an idea of people still being here, still being engaged with our culture and our language and our songs and our dances. We're going to continue to walk through the second set of arches as we make our way back to the fountain at the front of the mall.
Oh wow, that's interesting. 1400, the shell mound abandoned. You know, you just didn't think about those things. You're going to work. I mean, do you think about those things now when you go to work? I don't think about it where I work. And we thought about the area in the sense that, you know, you'd look out, you'd see the mud flats, you'd see the, you know, you could see so far. It was really beautiful from the top of the plant. Of course, you weren't there very often. Most of the time you were on the ground floor, in your office, or, you know, in the lab, or you know, somewhere else where you looking at equipment that was broken.
It's a completely eye-opening sort of shock to see the plans of this of the development. Here they are all carried out. It's probably the site I've worked on that has the most connection to being able to feel the natural environment, to feel the natural setting, because there was no development here. That hotel wasn't there yet. That was just under construction as we were working here, and you could still see a little bit of the bay out there.
So we're right back to where we started at the corner of Ohlone Way and Shellmound Street. It's difficult to imagine that where the courtyard stands right now, the big Marriott across the street, that actually was where the bay is. That's all fill that human beings did. So the water actually came right here. And you can kind of hear the water coming up, kind of lapping against the shores here right now.